calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, my friends. Just checking with our chat room, what's the real story and when trucking got deregulated? I guess it's a little bit of everything that our callers were talking about. There was the Motor Carrier Act of 1980. Some deregulation started in 1977, but the big act was in 1980. Actually, not the big act. It was sort of the beginning. And then the Surface Freight Forwarder Deregulation Act of 1986. This under the 1981 would have been under Carter. The 1986 one was Reagan. And that was the one that really kicked the doors open, as far as we can tell. The ICC was already starting to decontrol the industry by 82. And it's obviously one of those things that's a little more complex. Doesn't reduce itself well to sound bites. But the process began in 1980, really picked up steam in the mid-80s. So, that said, and with that information under our belt, it is Thursday. It's the first hour. It's the second hour. First part of our second hour of our Thursday program. Time for us to go a little farther than, you know, a little beyond the news. Let's dig into things that you won't hear about on CBS, NBC, ABC, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, the mainstream media, as it were. Things that you maybe thought you knew, but you didn't know that you didn't know that you didn't know that you didn't know. And maybe even what you thought you knew, you didn't actually know because perhaps everything you know is wrong.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync. You think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Is it possible? Brad Friedman is a writer, the editor of bradblog.com, the blog that broke the story suggesting that Tom Feeney, the congressman from Florida, had hired a fellow by the name of Clint Curtis to write vote hacking software, and Brad is now reporting that let me just lay this out, Brad. Do you think it's true that people who are looking into the issue of the vote being stolen electronically are being murdered?
Well, I will do my best to keep my opinions out of it. What I'm trying to do is stick to the facts, stick to the evidence that I've been able to uncover.
Hey, this is Talk Radio. I'd love to hear your opinion, too, although let's start with the facts.
Well, the facts may be troubling enough for you, but we'll see. I've been looking into this case for about 3 months, reporting on all sorts of elements of it. This particular element of it is one that I have waited to report on at all for a number of reasons, but Clint Curtis, who made these allegations originally back in 2001, has been trying to bring attention to them for years. He not only reported that Feeney had asked him to build some vote rigging software, but also at the company that he was working, that there was Chinese spies working there, illegal aliens, and that the company was overbilling on state contracts and sensitive contracts with NASA were being compromised. Well, it turns out, I'd say about 80-85% of his claims have now been proven true. The Chinese spy, who he alleged was a spy and alleged was an illegal alien, turns out the feds have now confirmed he was an illegal alien, and in fact, he was indicted after a four-year sting just last March, I believe it was, for three counts of espionage attempting to send Hellfire anti-tank missile chips to China. What happened there is pretty amazing because he ended up pleading guilty to one of those counts, and in the plea agreement said that it was a slow year, so we only did this 10 to 20 times over the past year.
So this was a spy who worked for a company that was somehow in bed with Congressman Tom Feeney of Florida?
Congressman Tom Feeney, at the time, was their corporate counsel, their registered lobbyist, and just happened to be, at the same time, the Speaker of the Florida House. He's the one who famously said back in 2000 during the election mess down there that he didn't care how the Supreme Court ruled, he was going to make sure that Florida's electors went to George Bush.
Yeah, Republican
also,
that was Tom Feeney was the guy who said that regardless of the vote count, regardless of what comes out, we are going to send Republican electors to the Electoral College because the Republicans hold a majority in the House of Representatives in the state of Florida. He was the Speaker of the House.
And he was Speaker of the House.
And he's now in the United States Congress.
Yes, sir. He now sits on the House Judiciary Committee.
Oh, my God.
In the U.S. House. He was also, by the way, the running mate to Jeb Bush in 1994 for Jeb's original run for governor of Florida.
When Jeb lost.
Correct.
Wow.
So it's a pretty broad story, and there was a major new element that you mentioned that I finally dealt with, I believe it was yesterday, broke this news, which has to do with the original investigator that Clint Curtis went to and gave this information to.
Now, Clint Curtis, let's just clarify here. Clint Curtis, he's working for this company that also has employed a Chinese spy.
Right.
So he's working side by side with a guy who's a spy, and this company's official lobbyist and lawyer is Tom Feeney, who is also the Speaker of the House of Representatives in the state of Florida, now in the United States Congress representing Florida. And this guy, Clint Curtis, who's working at this company side by side with this spy, goes out publicly and says, A, the guy who's sitting in the cubicle next to me is a spy, and B, Tom Feeney, the Speaker of the House of Representatives in the state of Florida, tried to or successfully did, do you tell me which it is, hired me, Curtis is saying, to write a piece of software that can run on one of these voting machines that will cause the voting machine to, if you enter the certain code or certain order of candidates in a particular way, will cause the voting machine to reset the votes, to change the outcome of the election, right?
Just about right. There's a couple of small details there that do need to be clarified because,
great,
as you can tell, this is an explosive story and it's important to get it right.
Yeah, fill them in for me, Brad.
Yeah.
We're speaking, by the way, of Brad Friedman. He's the writer and the editor of bradblog.com. Go ahead.
The software in question, Clint Curtis was already working for this company, the Yang Company, Yang Enterprises, Inc. So he wasn't hired specifically to do this job. He was taking part in meetings that would happen fairly regularly, he claims, when Tom Feeney would come in and they would discuss projects and so forth that were coming up. So he was tasked in this meeting to build this software. Now, mind you, Clint Curtis at the time was a lifelong Republican and felt when this originally came up that Feeney was concerned that Democrats would try to do this, that they would try to steal the vote. So he wanted to know how they might do it so he would know what to watch for. So what he was asked to build was a prototype, how it might be done. It was never meant that specific program, those specific routines, which is a very simple routine, maybe 24 lines of code, that was meant to be a prototype. It was not meant to go specifically onto voting machines necessarily,
okay,
but rather how it might be done.
Right.
Now, he had asked for very specific, Feeney had asked for very specific things. It needed to be usable on touchscreen voting machines. It
like they have all over Florida.
What's that?
Like they have all over Florida and in the entire state of Georgia.
They do now. They didn't at the time in Florida. However, the software that he was building could have also worked on tabulation machines, which they did have in,
right,
Florida at that time.
Okay.
So not just the voting machines.
Yep.
As well, they also knew that those machines would be soon coming into the state of Florida.
Okay. We're talking with Brad Friedman, the writer and editor of bradblog.com. So, okay, so Feeney, the head of the Speaker of the House of Representatives for the state of Florida, now in the U.S. Congress, he's the lawyer and the registered lobbyist for this company which has employed a Chinese spy, and he comes and he says to Clint Curtis, write me some vote hack software so that we can find out what the Democrats are going to do.
Correct.
Okay.
He
What's
goes
next?
Away to do that. There was a third thing that Feeney asked for, that the must be able to hide the source code, hide the vote flipping routines in the source code. And Curtis claims that he said at the time, "Well, that's impossible." They sent him to do it away to do it anyway. He goes away, writes the software, brings it back on a CD with the documentation, gives it to the CEO, Mrs. Yang, and says, "Well, I was able to do everything he asked for except to hide the source code." That just can't be done. And she says to him, you don't understand. We have to hide the source code if we want to get the contract. This is to rig the votes in South Florida. That is in Clint's sworn affidavit.
which he presented to Congressman John Conyers in Ohio at his open hearings with Congressman Conyers.
Correct. Actually, he gave the affidavit earlier, and then he gave sworn testimony to all of the above to several members of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, okay. Brad Friedman, author of bradblog.com. We've only got about 2 minutes left here, Brad. Somebody's died. What's going on?
Yes, sir. The fella who, the man from the Florida Inspector General's office down in Florida that Clint first gave this all this material to in 2001, Clint claims that Ray Lemmy is his name, Raymond Lemmy. He came to Clint in 2003, mid-June, said to Clint that the report's about to come out. You're going to be very happy. This thing, the corruption, goes all the way to the top.
All the way to the top of the state of Florida or all the way to the top of the United States of America? Are we talking about Bush or George Bush?
We don't know. All Curtis says that he was told was it goes, quote, all the way to the top.
Okay.
Now, that's what he said in mid-June.
Right.
2 weeks later, Raymond Lemmy was found dead in a Valdosta, Georgia hotel room.
Valdosta, Georgia is right over the border from Florida.
Correct. I asked Clint, well, what the heck was he doing in Georgia? He says, well, Georgia has no autopsy laws, mandatory autopsy laws, so had he committed suicide, as the police eventually ruled it, in Florida, there would have been an autopsy. In Georgia, there was not. I know you got to run, so I'll give you just the quick detail here, is that the police report says that pictures were taken. However, due to a failure in the camera's flash memory cards, there will be no photographs from this crime scene. Well, guess what? We just posted yesterday up on bradblog.com.
The crime scene photographs.
Correct.
You got them.
And the Valdosta police have acknowledged that they exist and that they opened up the case again in December.
And this may not be a suicide?
I'm sorry?
And this may not be a suicide?
There is a lot of inconsistencies in the photographs compared to the police report. There is a lot of problems with the case. And I've been trying to get more and more information from the Valdosta police, who have essentially told me they opened the case, they spoke with someone at the Florida Department of Transportation, and then closed the case.
Yeah. You don't think Jeb Bush wants this thing going anywhere? Amazing. Brad Friedman, the writer and editor of bradblog.com. People can find this whole story right on your website, www.bradblog.com.
Yeah, come on by. It's three or four items down. You'll see there's a big siren above it. I've put the graphic photos on a separate page, so you don't have to see them if you don't want. It's an extraordinary story. Please check it out, because this thing continues to unfold.
Amazing. And let's see if the mainstream press picks it up. Brad, thanks so much for being with us. I do appreciate it today on our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program, 20 minutes past the hour.